Well, a new documentary about a Detroit jazz legend is going to be released later this year, and it's helmed, of course, by a Detroit native. Tamashian Jones is an Emmy Award-winning film director who's worked on a dozen feature-length and documentary films, including winning 3 Emmy Awards, including Best Documentary for Cody High, a life remodeled project. And Culture Shift's Tia Graham is here to tell us more. Hey, Tia.
Hi, Ryan. Thank you so much. Jones is also a teacher at the Process of Filmmaking workshops at TBOP Media in Farmington. And Jones has been working on a new documentary exploring the life of musician Marcus Belgrave. Like Ryan just said, the movie will focus on the generosity of Belgrave, who dedicated his career to making Detroit a Black American music destination. Thank you so much for joining the show, Tamashian.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Exciting.
Yeah, so you're a Detroit native, born and bred out of the city. Who are you? Who is Tamashian Jones?
What up, doe? First of all, I am from Detroit. born and raised Grand River in Schoolcraft, a product of Detroit public schools. Graduated from Wayne State University. Went through the Focus Hope Engineering training program. So, like, everything here in Detroit.
Yeah. Well, what up, though?
What up, though?
So, you know, when we talk about filmmaking, you talk about the career that you decided to pursue. What made you say this is something that I can actually do?
We started out doing video as a hobby, you know, just doing spook videos, weddings, you know, just concert, whatever it is that we wanted to just record. But, you know, in around 2009, 2010, I wanted to make like an actual movie. So I got with a couple of friends who went to school for it. I didn't go to school for it. I actually went to engineering school, but yeah. I knew production, and it was a movie production, but it still was production. So those same rules apply. And, you know, just got with those guys. And we made our first film, A Love That Hurts, that you can watch on YouTube or Tubi or, you know, any other of those platforms. But we were good at making movies, but we weren't that good at making money from movies because it was like right on the tail end of DVDs. And we got a whole bunch of DVDs pressed up, and that's like right when everybody stopped buying DVDs. So then streaming happened, and then, you know, now we're doing a little bit better now. So, but yeah.
So you were in school for engineering, and you say, you know, I'm going to pivot just a little bit to a different form of creativity. Talk about how you've used engineering to help, filmmake.
Oh, that's exciting. I mean, that's what we do. So, from an engineering standpoint, you have to understand that it is a process. Just the same way in assembly line, you know, everyone has a different role of playing on an assembly line. They also have it in a film production. So you have script supervisors, you have first ADs, you have directors. Everyone play their specific role, and when it all come together, you produce something. That's what it is. It's a production. Yeah. That's what they still call it, a production in a plant. So the same thing that we learned as far as streamlining the process and getting it done with minimum amount of resources as possible, not sacrificing quality, I think that's really the beauty of it. And I think, you know, Berry Gordy, you know, one of the things that inspired me was that he didn't really kick off the idea about Motown being the way it was until he visited a plant. And he saw that they had quality control. They had all these different forms of, you know, investing in their talent and building up the development. And he ran Motown like an assembly line. You know, and I'm like, okay, well, that's what we're doing with films. We're producing films like a well-tuned assembly line.
I love that. So as you were talking a little bit, you said, you know, you have film that's on YouTube and Tubi. And for people who don't know and understand what Tubi is, it's a platform that is owned by Fox Corporation's Tubi, of course, but it's mostly and primarily where Black directors have gotten their start. They've gotten their push. They've gotten notoriety off of Tubi. So talk about Tubi's influence and its usage as a platform for Black directors and creators.
So Tubi right now has been kind of like they've been paying the most for independent filmmakers. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people go to Tubi because it's not like a subscription base where you have to pay. You just have to watch the advertising, just like television, right? And a lot of filmmakers, specifically from Detroit, once we found out that it was a little bit of success there, everyone jumped on it, and mostly all of our films are on Tubi. You know, it may not start on Tubi, maybe transactional, may put it on somewhere else where people have to pay for it, and then maybe some subscription, but eventually it ends up on Tubi. So, I would say everyone, download Tubi. It's a lot. I mean, it's like 51 million active users on Tubi, so it's not just a black thing or a Detroit thing. All kinds of films are on Tubi. Mm-hmm. All the major production studios in L.A. and New York and all, they all have movies on Tubi, you know. So, but a lot of Detroit filmmakers are really making a mark on Tubi, for sure.
And how has that helped you connect with other filmmakers throughout the city? How has that helped connect the Detroit filmmaking community?
Well, the way I connected with them was mm-hmm. on Clubhouse when 2020 happened and everybody was not doing anything. All of the Detroit filmmakers were all on Clubhouse at the exact same time. And I jumped into a Detroit filmmaking room and I met like everybody that was doing things. And a lot of them I didn't know about. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch your movie. And then we all stayed in contact together. And then when I was doing my filmmaking class, I invited a lot of them to speak to my students. And then from there we help out each other on the sets. We let each other borrow gear. I mean, it is a family, and we all have our issues here and there. But you have issues in your own family, you know what I'm saying? But we are a filmmaking family, and we help out each other like none other.
So we're speaking with Emmy Award-winning film director Tamashian Jones. He's talking about the new film that he's going to be doing as the documentary film about Marcus
Belgrave.
There you go. I almost say Garvey every time. And I was like, no, listen, that's wrong. Don't say that.
Actually, man, you know, Garvey. So now that you say that, one of the things that we found out was that Marcus was named after Marcus Garvey.
Really?
His father was a Garveyite. Well, absolutely.
Makes sense why I kept popping in my head all day.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the legacy there, and we talk a little bit about, you talked about being a teacher, and we talk about, you know, mentoring and different things like that. That is exactly what Marcus Belgrave was. He was a mentor to musicians in the city of Detroit. Can you, if you can, just a little bit of what you learned about Belgrave and his legacy here?
You know, Marcus had such a profound impact on so many people. And I can tell just by mentioning his name when I went to interview some people. Hey, you mind if I interview? And they're like, about what? Oh, I'm doing a documentary on Marcus Belgrave. Yes, what do you need? They just rolled out the red carpet because the impact that he had was so great. I'm talking about like people allowing us to film at their place, or, you know, not just them coming on to be a part of the documentary, but they just rolling out the red carpet only because he had the heart of a teacher and a nurturer. And he took people from teens, like, who, you know, just starting out, and now they are on Steve Colbert's show, they're getting Grammy Awards, they're on the Tonight Show. I mean, they just start doing phenomenal things. Like Kareem Riggins is a resident for the Detroit Jazz Fest this year. You know, I mean, and the list goes on and on. I mean, it's like a plethora amount of people that really call Marcus their teacher.
We often talk about Rodney Whitaker, and talk about, you know, so many different people. Rodney, who's already influenced a whole generation himself, and just to see that connection coming from Belgrave to Rodney Whitaker to India Owens, is so many different generations of people that have been impacted. But he started out really young too, getting influenced by so many greats too. He also worked with Stevie Wonder, and he worked with some amazing giants. So if you could talk about the legacy there that he had coming from the era of Motown and learning from those people.
Actually, it's well before Motown. He was born in like the 30s, right? So, I mean, when he started talking about like Louis Armstrong and Dizzy Gillespie, and he started listening to Miles Davis, and he got influenced by that, and people like Cecil Payne and a few others, and he brought all of that music when he came to Detroit, who, you know, he stayed here because some of the Detroit musicians were really serious about it, and they loved it, and they really dedicated themselves and their lives to this music. And he really wanted to stay here and really help develop the I want to say film community, the music community of Detroit. So he brought it, and he worked with Ray Charles when he was like 19. He toured with Ray Charles all over the country, and then he came here, played for Motown, and, you know, with the Temptations and all these different people. During the Motown area with like Marvin Gaye you know, like you mentioned, Stevie Wonder, all these different groups of people that he played with, and they all loved the way that he played, you know, and the people loved his personality. And you just couldn't separate the person from the musician. You know, a lot of people want to take their music and set it aside and say, I'm a musician here, but now I'm a regular person here. Yeah. From the people that we talked to in interview, they said that it was like inseparable. He was like a musician to the core. And he loved what he did, you know.
You know, I think about how, you know, what I was reading a little bit up on your, you know, what you're doing, your direction and everything that you're trying to focus on in the film. And it was one of the things that you were talking about was the legacy there is of, once again, mentorship, but the importance of making sure that you're staying where you are. He didn't leave. He stayed right here. So why is that so important that you're seeing some of the people, legends, not leaving and staying in the city of Detroit?
You know, that was one of the biggest questions that I had, because, you know, from the people that we interviewed, I think it was Charles Mingus that mm-hmm. said that if he would have left Detroit and went to a major market like, you know, New York or somewhere else, that he would be just as famous as like Miles Davis or, you know, other people all over the world. They know who he is, but he wasn't on that level. And I would ask myself, why wouldn't you leave, you know? And as I looked at home videos and all the behind the scenes footage and all the stuff that he said, he wanted to be here to help mentor the next generation. That's how he was going to leave his impact. So if you look at other major trumpet players or musicians, they're like, you know, everyone know who they are, but you don't know who their mentees are. Well, you know who Marcus mentees are. You just named them, right? So he left an impact by producing mentees and to all over the world, you know, and he wanted to stay because he felt like it was home, it was coming back. I mean, he really was here, like, during the uprising, after all of that that happened, mm-hmm. he really was trying to help revitalize the city. So a lot of people can leave, but a lot of people had to stay in order to make Detroit what it is now. And he played a major part, especially in the area of music.
So, you know, I think about the connection there of staying here, making sure you're staying rooted and connected to what's happening in the city of Detroit. Belgrave did it. But I also think about the connection there with Jay Dilla staying and doing all mm-hmm. of his productions here in the city. And I just think about, you know, what's one we talked about it just a little bit earlier. What's one of those barriers that you're seeing that we're not getting out of the city? Because Jay Dilla was producer's favorite producer, remains that way. Mm-hmm. You know, Marcus Belgrave was trumpeter's favorite trumpeter, you know what I mean?
And it stays a musician.
There you go. Know. So it's like, how do we get them out of that realm?
I think most people think that major productions come from other places outside of Detroit, yeah. even though we are Motown.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, we started this production thing, you know, as far as producing things. But, you know, they kind of like overlook us. They look at New York, they look at, you know, L.A., and even now in the film industry, Atlanta. But they may not look at Detroit as a powerful player. But we are, you know, and just from the people that are from Detroit who've been hustling, doing our thing from a very long time, you know, we want to make sure that we stay true to ourselves and we don't sell out and try to go somewhere else just for a name. And that's what Marcus did, right? He stayed here. He was like, yeah, I can go there and do that, but I won't be happy there. I'll be happy here playing this music and teaching young people. I mean, that's what made him happy. So I would say, you know, do what makes you happy. I love making films. I quit my 9-to-5 job, working in a plant, being a production coordinator. I mean, supervisor and continuous improvement engineer, all the stuff I was doing to do films full-time.
Safety and security.
Yeah.
You know, you left safety and security, which so many people are just like, I couldn't leave. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I had to, man. Golden handcuffs is what I would call them. You know what I'm saying? They look good. They're shiny, but they're still handcuffs, you know.
We're chatting with Emmy Award-winning film director, Detroiter, Tamashian Jones. Now, I want to bring in the producer of the film as well. Brad, how are you?
How are you?
Doing pretty well, Brad. So, you know, talk a little bit about your findings and your discoveries and some of the things that you learning about Marcus Belgrave and his legacy.
Well, what was fascinating about this project is that, you know, it came to me. I'd started a production company with an investor, and immediately he was like, you should speak to Joan Belgrave. And so Joan is Marcus's widow, and Joan is a huge music personality in the city of Detroit. And immediately she was peppering me with all these amazing stories about Marcus Belgrave. And I had to admit that I was completely ignorant to the story. And it was I felt shame that I had no idea what she was talking about. And then she was like, you should meet this guy, Tamashian Jones. And we got on a phone call with each other, and we both were coming from the same place. This is an education project for us.
Yeah.
And I saw the art that he brought to the table. I knew I could at least, you know, help support him and what he needed to do. And together we just dove into the catalog and we started calling people and connecting with people. And I think it's kind of amazing what we've been able to pull off with this. I mean, you know, just this past weekend we were talking to a huge jazz celebrity who we were just like, how are we in the same room with this person? You know, Ray Parker Jr. was in my car one day and I was like, how am I in this situation? This is so amazing, you know. But really, when it comes down to it, you know, the Marcus legacy has such a deep impact on not just the world of jazz. Like, jazz tends to be a limiting term sometimes in how he affected music. He's just big in the world of music. You likely hear Marcus Belgrave every week of your life and don't realize it. And that's the craziest part. We wanted to bring that story to life. How is it that you can be in the grocery store listening to Marcus Belgrave and you have no idea that you're hearing him?
I know. And that's the thing for myself and a lot of younger generations, but just people in general from the city of Detroit not knowing different, you know, legacy artists that have been here and been putting in the work for, you know, decades. And so, you know, as we start to wrap up a little bit with the conversation, both of you, this is a question for both of you. How can we continue to tell, or how can we push forward these stories of Detroiters who have made impacts in the city that have not been told?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with what Tamashian was saying earlier. You had to let go a little bit of that security and just boldly go out there and say, I have to tell this story.
Yeah.
And I think when you see that, you know, there was a lot of people think of that film Searching for Sugar Man as like oh, that's a one-off. That's just the one Detroit story. And that's not true at all. There's hundreds of Detroit stories that should be told. And it takes an artist like Tamashian Jones to step out there and say, I'm going to tell this story and we're going to make this happen so that people know about this.
Tamashian?
Yeah, I think for years, people outside of Detroit have been telling our stories, mm-hmm. you know, and they haven't been doing a really good job at it. So it's really our responsibility to tell the story that we know that needs to be told. And that's what we're in the process of doing, you know. So, that's pretty much all
so
I can say there.
Where are we right now in the filmmaking process? Where are we with, you know, maybe editing and you know, the whole production side of things? Where are we?
Oh, boy. Yes. So here's the thing. We started interviewing people around this time last year, and we just probably did our last interview this past weekend. But I would say we just finished a rough cut, and now we're in the process of cutting really good stuff out.
Okay.
You know, like when you do a rough cut, you put everything in that you think is good to the story, but now you have to cut good stuff and leave the jewels in there, and that's what we're in the process of doing. So might be a few arguments here and there about what leaves, what stays, and then B-roll, we put it on top of it, and then, you know, getting the music, because the music is really important because he was a musician, so we got to make sure we get that element right. And so in the next few months, we should be able to have something that's really nice to be able to submit to some film festivals and hopefully get this out in front of as many people as possible.
So you're talking about a film festival in fall, this fall, right?
Yeah, it's hard to say because there's so much process in the film festival. I don't want to overpromise how many we're in.
Okay.
I'm going to say this, though. We are putting this into every market we can. We are trying to take this to the moon. We want people to know about Marcus Belgrave.
Alrighty then, I am speaking with, or have been speaking with, Emmy Award-winning film director Tamashian Jones. We were also joined by the producer of the film, which is called Introducing Marcus Belgrave, Brad Torriano.
Torriano. Close enough.
All right, Sunnyside Productions. And he's a producer of the film, like I said, the filmmaker as well, Tamashian Jones. Thank you both for being here, talking about the story of Marcus Belgrave, and hopefully you're going to educate and inspire a whole generation of Detroiters.
Well, we'll invite you as soon as we have a Detroit screening.
Well,
lined
let
up.
Me know. Let me know.
Oh, yeah.
Let us all know here at Culture Shift. Let WDET know we'll show up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it. And we love it.
All right.
On that note, I think it's important to play some of the incredible music of Marcus Belgrave. This is a track from 1974, his Gemini 2 record, Glue Fingers, right now here on Culture Shift.
Oh,